The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Nearly 9.30 this Tuesday morning. As always, a pleasure to have you with us. 51551. I mentioned in passing Christine Keeler yesterday for reasons that have nothing to do with why I'm going to talk to her son now, Seymour Platt. Good morning, Seymour. Nice to talk to you again.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
How is the world over there?
It's good. I'm in Longford and I'm looking out the window and it's a typical Longford day. It's overcast and a little bit damp.
As you'd expect in Longford, Seymour. Listen, it's nice to talk to you again because the last time we spoke, it was particularly sad because your mum hadn't, it wasn't long that she'd passed away. And 2017, in the great scheme of things, isn't far away anyway. How have you been keeping?
I've been doing really well. And yes, no, thank you so much for speaking to me last time as well, because it gave me the opportunity to talk about my mum as a woman and as a mother, rather than just Christine Keeler, the icon.
Mm. Because as time goes by, anyone who knows the Profumo affair will know that your mum got more caught up in it is an understatement and ended up in prison. But I think I want to talk to you briefly, Seymour, this morning about why she ended up in prison. Because we think John Profumo, Minister for War, we think Stephen Ward, the osteopath, and we think of high society and the establishment, which is all very much in the ether now, people watching The Crown and what have you, the establishment. How did your mum end up in prison?
That's a great... You know, it's two stories that ran there in 1963. One story was Profumo and Stephen Ward and Christine Keeler.
Yes.
And there was another story that ran parallel to that, and that was Christine Keeler and a man called Lucky Gordon. And Lucky Gordon met Christine in 1961 and immediately started to stalk her. He raped her. He assaulted her. But then in 1963, he assaulted her and she'd had enough and she called the police and the police came round. But she was with two witnesses. And the two witnesses, both West Indian men, said, "We don't want anything to do with this. This is nothing to do with us. So don't tell the police we were here." And she didn't. And little did she know that that would mean that she would go to prison. Because when it went to court, Lucky Gordon was found guilty of assaulting Christine. He admitted that he assaulted her in court. But when he went to prison, he got appeal. He said there were witnesses. They found the witnesses. The witnesses came forward and said, "Hey, listen, she was assaulted just like she said. And yet Christine was still the one who went to prison."
For perjury?
For perjury, for saying that the witnesses went there. Christine used to tell me, anybody had listened, that she was the only person who's ever been to prison for not stating that a witness was at a scene of crime when a scene of crime took place. And it was really complicated, and I don't think people really understood it.
No, because she was clearly assaulted, he was found guilty, and yet she went to prison for how long?
She was sentenced to 9 months and she served six.
I mean, it's so tragic, your poor bloody mother, because as far as I know, Profumo, I mean, while he might have had professional disgrace and personal embarrassment, there was no talk of prison cells for him.
What was interesting with Profumo, though, and it's funny you should mention him, Profumo did sue a newspaper. So he did sue a newspaper that implied that he was having a relationship with Christine before it all broke. And he took the money, he put it in the pocket. So he lied as well, you see, and he lied in a legal case. And so nobody thought about bringing him back.
How old was your mum at the time when she was in prison?
She went to prison when she was 21.
And
for her, this all started when she was 19.
Yes. And what does she talk, when she was speaking to you as your mother, did she ever talk about her time in prison? Brief as it was, but it's probably a long time for anyone, really.
She did. She told me that by the end of 1963, she'd just had enough. I mean, her 1963 was our 2020.
Yeah.
And by the time she got to court, she just pleaded guilty because she wanted it all finished. She didn't want to fight her case. And she went to prison and she was broken. And she told me the story that when she arrived in prison, the guard said to her, they said, "Listen, we want to work out if you're as stupid as you look. So we're going to do an IQ test on you." And apparently she had a complete breakdown at that stage, she told me. She said, "It was like they were trying to get inside of my head when they'd already taken everything from me. And everybody in the world hated me. Now they wanted to get inside my head and knew what I thought." And that was her breaking point when she arrived in prison.
So cruel. When we think of your mum as she became something of, and I'm saying this respectfully to you, Seymour, that she became something kind of when the film Scandal came out and beyond, iconic. You know, you know what I'm saying. And yeah. and the Pet Shop Boys and Dusty Springfield did the song, and Joanne Whalley Kilmer played her in the movie, and John Hurt was there too, and Ian McKellen. So it was all kind of, she kind of came back in again, and I think most people remember the very famous picture of your mum on that chair.
Yeah.
Tell me about that photograph.
So that's it's a photograph from when Christine was in 1963. She was going to do a movie about her life called The Christine Keeler Story, which is still banned in the UK, by the way.
Is it?
And it's a really, really silly film. So,
sure.
But, and she had a photograph taken for publicity so they could go to Cannes to raise money. And when she went into this room with the photographer, a guy called Lewis Morley, she turned up. He said, listen, can we just use this chair? And she said, this is going to be rubbish. And she was utterly convinced that the pictures were going to be absolutely rubbish.
Really?
And, of course, how wrong she was, because one of the papers printed, got hold of one of the pictures and printed it on the front page, and it became one of the pictures of the decade.
And so, beyond. I bought a copy of it in the National Portrait Gallery in London,
yeah.
Because it's part of that, you know, portraits of our time, nearly. Certainly
it
from
is.
The 60s.
Yeah, it is. And I sell them on her website at the moment.
Okay.
That's how this all started. So, I mean, I'm going to get a pardon for Christine. I'm working really hard to get a pardon for Christine.
Yeah.
Because I started looking at the story in much more detail. So after Chris died, I put basically her story in a box because I wasn't ready to look at it.
Of course.
And then there was a BBC drama, six-part drama, that came out at the beginning of this year, and I had to look at it.
The Trial of Christine. What did you think of that?
I thought, you know, it was nice because it portrayed Christine in a better light.
Yeah.
Than other stories have. It was, for a six-part drama, there was quite a lot that it missed out,
mm-hmm.
but which is amazing for 6 hours of television. But it was still, I thought that it was okay. It was good, you know. But one of the things that did strike me, though, is the first time they dramatised the trial where she went to prison. And I just thought it sounded really unjust that she went to prison for perjury, that she went to prison at all because she was the victim of the crime. So I built a website called christine-keeler.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
And on that website, I started writing everything I could find about the case and about her history. And I got help from friends, and we talked about the films that have been made about it, or the books that have been made about it. And it's all on the website. And so and then I suddenly got a message from somebody in August, and they were a solicitor, and they said, listen, I've read your part, and I think that you've got a case. And since August, we've been working on getting a pardon together for Christine. And over the last couple of weeks, we've now got a barrister who stepped forward, a girl called Felicity Jerry QC, and she's going to fight the case to try and get Christine a pardon, because she should never have gone to prison.
Well, this story has fascinated the British public for decades, as you well know, and many of our listeners as well, including myself. So I'm surprised that I would be surprised, Seymour, if this didn't build a head of steam. Having watched a film called The Imitation Game a couple of weeks ago, where Alan Turing, it says at the end, got a royal pardon because of the so-called crimes he committed for being a gay man and all the rest of it. Is the royal family, are they inclined to pardon, or is Parliament inclined to pardon? I'm not sure of the legal niceties of all of that, but is it common?
It does happen, and it happens more now. It particularly happens if there is a public yearning for something to happen. So with Alan Turing, for example, and we've cited that in our pardon application, it was important that Alan Turing was recognised for being a hero for the Second World War, and his sexuality was just put to one side, and it was said, you know, we forgave him for a ridiculous crime. With Christine, it's important as well, because history's wrong. We tell history wrong in the UK about what happened in 1963. There are still people now who write that history about poor, middle-aged, wealthy men who were seduced by stupid, lying young girls.
Mm.
And that isn't what happened. You know, the story is more complex But the girls didn't lie. And when I look at the story, they told the truth all the way through.
So is this a bigger picture then in some ways? It's not just about the perjury and trying to get that overturned. It's as much to rescue your mother's dignity from history's running away with one narrative.
100%. And it's not just history. Obviously, it's personal because it's
my
mum.
Of course. But, no, I appreciate that. Absolutely. Yeah.
But it is history as well, because very recently I had a historian contact me. They've got a book coming out and they want to use the famous picture of Christine on their book. And so I said, well, what are you writing? I'm not going to let you use it unless I see what you're saying about my mum. And they sent him what they were saying, and it was all lies. It was all, you know. And you think, well, why is this rhetoric still happening? The thing that's so easy with this part of that story, from April 1963 till December 1963, when she went to prison, is it's so well documented. There's so much. There's court papers. There's police interviews. It's easy to actually find the truth.
And do you have much interest in the British media, Seymour?
There was some. So
it's slow to start.
It's slow to start. And that's why I'm so glad to be here on the radio, is because I need help now. I need to generate that interest. I need to get people interested in the story because it's important. There was a young woman who was pushed around by the establishment whose name is still Mud, and she's not the one whose name should be Mud.
Why is that so important to you?
I think it's important because the world's changed an awful lot, even in the last 3-4 years. And I think that we appreciate now that when young girls are blamed for sexual indiscretions with older men, it's not really their fault.
Yeah, this is victim shaming, as they call it now.
I mean,
and rightly so. You're putting your mother in retrospectively in a modern context, if you like, and that would, you know, when you say it that way, it becomes even more obscene what happened to her.
Exactly. Today, you would never send the victim of a crime, particularly a woman who is the victim of sexual crime, to prison. You just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we'll watch your story with enormous interest, Seymour. I hope there's take up and I hope there's interest. I'm glad to see you have a QC there, a Queen's Counsel, working with you. And, you know, that will be of great assistance, I've no doubt. And I hope the story gathers steam and that you go all the way to that pardon. And you've certainly got our support for that, because I think it's only right to sometimes history needs to be corrected. And especially from a son to his mother, I think it's lovely what you're doing. So I wish you every success with that.
Ryan, thank you so much. Thank you.
Not at all. We'll talk to you soon. Mind yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Seymour Platt is Christine Keeler's son, and the site he's talking about there is christine-keeler.co.uk. And as I say, it's a story that has always caught my attention, and one that keeps going on. Such was the echo in history that it caused at the time. And we will watch that space, as I say, with interest.